Say begin your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, top of the hour. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. This is the creatively and appropriately named show, Vanessa and Gallant. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. If you want to see our pretty faces, you can watch us on Twitch.
Oh, thank you.
If you want to take us everywhere you go, you can have us on the ESPN app. We're so available to you. Sports rules that y'all hate. This is a carryover from our last segment. Paul was talking about the NBA Finals last night.
The landing zone stuff is ridiculous. We've gone too far where it's a flagrant foul. I understand it being a foul. It is a foul. But a flagrant foul, my God, how soft have we gotten? And basketball can be rather soft from time to time.
Lots of flopping.
Yes. I'm a meathead, toxically masculine man, but I
former all-district safety.
Thank you. Someone knows. But it's one of those things where I feel like it's just opening up a box that's only going to get worse and worse over time. A guy should be allowed to defend a shot, and if it's a big man who is slow on a closeout, that's what's going to happen. You know,
and you shouldn't punish the big man, is what you're saying.
Yeah, like they're trying to protect these guys. I get it, but in trying to protect these players, you are essentially saying, "Well, don't even bother defending." And if you don't even contest the Steph Curry shot, I mean, it's going in.
Yeah, it is ironic that it's the Warriors that benefit from it here, because the rule started because of Zaza Pachulia when he was on the Warriors.
That's
pretty,
right.
And the idea behind the rule is to stop the Zaza play, obviously sticking his foot under Kawhi Leonard, who is going up and down in the corner on a jump shot. But yeah, how they call it now, it is ridiculous. And then that led to the Rockets being ridiculous about it.
Yes.
The next year, while everyone was trying to jump forward into that foul. Yeah, no, that's one where it's like they call it way too much, or they don't call it super often, but they don't appropriately call it.
Basketball has become like soccer in that players have become very smart to take advantage fully of anything that they can. And I mean, that's why you see now a guy like do a pump fake, get a guy in the air, and take a shot that he never was going to take as a shot just so that he can get three free throws, which is there's a lot of it in basketball. I feel like it has gotten to a point where something needs to be done. I don't know what you do, though, especially about the flopping either with guys like Kyle Lowry.
They did say that they're going to, they did have new points of emphasis is what they call it. And they enforced it for, the first half of the regular season. And then it slowly just shifted back into, it's not as bad as it was, a couple years ago or last year, but it's still pretty bad.
Vanessa, any that drive you crazy?
Yeah, I don't think that, I hate when races finish under caution. When they finish under yellow, and because it just makes it so boring. Like the Indy 500 this year, what they did was they pulled out the red flag, and then they had a shootout for the last five laps, and it was awesome. 2 years ago, Takuma Sato won under yellow. Racing should be an exciting finish every time. And when you finish under caution, it's just lame.
So what happens when it finishes under caution? Is no one allowed to pass each other?
No, stay where they are.
What the hell?
It's like the last five laps.
What?
It's just a lot more. It's boring. And the whole thing with racing is that, you have a couple of fun moments, even in IndyCar, where you just turn left throughout the race, of passing, of what tires you use, of fuel mileage, and all that. But then the last laps are supposed to be essentially a shootout, which is what makes it fun. So that's my very specific one. And then, guys, we were all talking in our group chat about so many NFL rules.
Oh,
I mean, that's that could be an entire segment in and of itself.
Someone responded to me with with the tweet that I put out, whining about the the flagrant foul call. There's what Tom Brady is treated like with quarterbacks. Yes, The Brady stuff's ridiculous. Brady, when he gets touched now, like, will turn to the referee and he will get mad. And I always disliked it, even when he was on the Patriots. I would gladly take the 15-yard penalty, but at the same time, it's like, this is wrong. What I really don't like when it comes to roughing the quarterback, you could be putting your hand up in the air and lightly tap a helmet, and you will be called for roughing the passer. That's insane. I feel like we should, at the very least, look at how hard the head is slapped. But if you just touch the helmet, the guy's wearing a bleeping helmet. You're not going to knock him out of the game unless you club him with like a metal plate in your hand. And the other thing, too, with sometimes, Vanessa, we'll see, and I think Clay Matthews used to get called for this a lot, when you sack a quarterback and you just land on him hard.
Right.
And that's called like a roughing the quarterback. What is he
it's
supposed to do?
It's just the way your body moves. Yeah.
Because you let go with some of these, you know, like that big old soup sandwich, Ben Roethlisberger, when he was in the game. Oh, if you let up when you're coming down on him, he will probably shake you off. So the quarterback protection rules, I get it. You don't want quarterbacks to get hurt, but it's a violent game. Quarterbacks do get hurt. And sometimes roughing the passer calls are completely preposterous.
That's a common one that we've gotten. We're asking you guys what your bad sports rules that you wish you could change. 0446 on the text line says half the distance from the 5-yard line coming out. Please extend the first down mark or the penalized distance instead.
Mm.
We've gotten a lot of NFL ones.
Pass interference not being a spot of foul in college, I think. I think, although this is the tricky thing. Because there are times now where guys just, like, it's gone one – it used to be one way, but now it's gone the entire other way, where you can have a quarterback underthrow a pass and DPI will end up getting called when the defender is between the receiver and the ball, but the quarterback threw a bad pass, and then the defender gets called for pass interference.
We've gotten a lot about flopping in general.
Soccer
on Twitch.
You should
something
be shot
needs to be
on the
done.
Spot.
I mean, if you flop in soccer, yeah, what are you doing?
You should be. You should actually in soccer, the way to do this, you should have to go off the field, and your team should have to play 10-on-11.
Sean, what's your rule that you hate?
So there's so many basketball ones that come to mind where most charges should be blocks,
yeah,
and most blocks should be no calls. It's just all out of whack. That whole like. The one that always gets me is when a guy slides underneath someone as he's going up for either a Euro step layup or pass, and then he gets hit with like a glancing blow, and they call it a charge.
Right.
Marcus Smart won Defensive Player of the Year because of this play. And it just – the Kyle Lowry and Chris Paul one where if you're on a fast break or a semi-fast break – as a point guard, you kind of go right in front of a big man and then just stop. And the big man just falls into you because you stopped right in front of him. And it's a foul on the big man. There's so many basketball ones where it's just like, if someone did that in a pickup game, like the game would just end.
Right.
And that guy would never be allowed to play with you again.
6444 says PGA sucks. Yeah, new rule from the PGA. Can't play and live. We'll be talking about that later throughout the show as well.
Live, laugh,
responses?
Love.
Live, laugh, love, yeah.
Live, laugh, torture.
The clock doesn't stop under 1 minute after a shot in the first half. College basketball, it does in the second half. So, yeah, we haven't gotten a lot of responses about college sports. That's
game
the first one.
Targeting in college football, because I understand the intent. Targeting is bad. But sometimes the original call on the field is so wrong. And it takes usually about 2 minutes to replay a targeting. Another college one, and this was sort of hinted at in a way in college basketball. It shouldn't the clock should not stop after every first down in college football.
Slows the game down.
Right, we've gotten to, like, college football games are now 4.5 hours if you're lucky. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that these teams are throwing the ball so much and there's so many first downs with these new spread offenses. There aren't teams that are still running like the wishbone and the power eye anymore that need the clock to stop on a first down or something like that. The game has changed, so it's so fast paced. Like, why are we stopping the clock?
3426 says make college basketball 4 quarters like every other level.
Yes.
I actually agree with
yes.
this.
There's no reason. There's no basketball league in the world that plays two halves men's college basketball.
Automatic runner on second base in extra innings says 3970.
Yeah.
That was a a controversial one.
I enjoyed it last year in Seattle because the Mariners couldn't score any runs and they won a bunch of one-run games because they would go to extra innings and they'd have a runner on second base. And that would be like the only way they could score. But it is ridiculous that they kept it still. I guess that they don't want it to be too long of a game during the regular season. That's their rationale behind it. And in the playoffs, they get rid of it. But it is weird to have a rule that's so significantly different in the regular season and then the playoffs. And we're going to see that in the NFL going forward with overtime changing the way it is.
All right, coming up, we're going to discuss a little bit of the Deshaun Watson stuff as well as Carson Wentz and his situation. We're asking you guys today our NFL question of the day. Which quarterback you think has the fewest games left under their belt? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're rolling along on a Thursday. There was, once again, some Deshaun Watson news yesterday. Tony Busby, who of course is representing the women who have filed civil cases against the quarterback, released a statement saying that he plans on adding the Houston Texans and others to the lawsuit. Quote, based on what we've learned from the Houston Police Department, we will soon be joining the Houston Texans organization and others as defendants. Now, joining is a weird choice of words, but it essentially means we're adding the Texans and others as defendants in the ongoing lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. The statement's very long. We're
adding
not going to read it all.
Easier.
But yes. The statement goes on to say, we believe the Texans organization was well aware of Watson's issues but failed to act. They knew or certainly should have known. That's the part that gets me. So
they should have known.
They should have known. So Tony Busby is not even saying that he knows the Texans knew or not. Look, this is Tony Busby. This is what he does. He's going to release a statement before he even officially adds them onto the lawsuit because from what I've seen, that hasn't even been done yet.
Yeah, he likes to play in public.
He certainly does. So, look.
Street performer lawyer.
We knew that the minute that Deshaun Watson hired Rusty Hardin, we knew that this was going to be a battle of the lawyers and PR in some ways. Rusty Hardin, of course, hopping on the Texans flagship last week and making that controversial happy endings comment. But this is the latest in the saga of what should the Texans have known and what they actually knew.
I think it's going to be really hard to, if you're the Texans, find your way out of this one because it's a civil lawsuit and you don't have to have that much of a burden of proof to say, oh, you are guilty of not knowing when you should have known. And I think that you can definitely point at a lot of different things, and specifically the interaction between the security guard and Deshaun Watson after Watson's first accuser came after him. And Watson, I guess, said, it looks like I'm being extorted here. And said security officer gave him a non-disclosure agreement. There should have probably been a little bit more due diligence done. And I think that that is what Busby is going to focus on. And it's crazy because we're talking about one person here. Maybe that person used his own judgment and decided not to tell the Texans about it. But maybe he did talk to the Texans and the Texans heard about it. And at the very least, they were vaguely aware of something weird going on with Deshaun Watson and someone who alleged that he had done something wrong while massaging them. And if they can prove that it got up the food chain, if you will, just a little bit, then the Texans are probably going to have to pay some of these alleged victims a good deal of money.
I don't think it's weird at all. The NDA thing, I mean, I don't mean to talk down to people, but if you don't deal or know about politicians or athletes, NDAs are super common. Even if somebody is throwing a party or having you work on their house, you know, or work on their yard or whatever, NDAs are pretty common. I think what I'm interested in is the number of massages that Houston and that the Texans helped Watson set up. If they helped him set up 40 massages with 40 different women, they probably should have had their flags up.
Especially if they knew it was different women.
Especially if they knew. Absolutely. But if they set up like 10 massages over a year and all they did was book him the room and it was under a different name, it was not under Deshaun Watson's name, so they were trying to help him keep that private, then to me it's not that big of a red flag. And how are they supposed to know about all of the other massages, which we know per Jenny Vrintas that some of these happened at his house, some of these happened at the women's houses, etc.
Yeah, that part too, where it took a place in so many different spots. You would think that the Houstonian would have a massage room, but maybe because, as you said, since he is a VIP, since he is a celebrity, maybe they didn't want to have him out in the open in a massage room. Maybe they wanted to make things a little bit more private. But, I mean, I guess that sort of lends itself to some of the things that happen. If you're not in your proper office, that could be something else that maybe Busby points to and says, well, the Texans put Watson in an area where he felt comfortable, more comfortable than he should have been. I don't know how I would make that argument, but man, it is on brand for them to likely through just ignorance to now be involved in this when it seemed like they were completely out of it finally.
All right. A couple weeks ago, Troy Aikman said that he thinks that this is Carson Wentz's last chance with the Washington Commanders. Wentz then responded basically saying that he doesn't feel any pressure. Are the Commanders confident in Carson Wentz? Ron Rivera says yes, very much so.
Your impressions of Carson over a couple weeks, what has really jumped out to you?
I really like his command of our offense. You know, when you listen to him in the huddle, you listen to him talk to his teammates about, you know, certain aspects of the play, you know he gets it. And seeing him getting his teammates lined up and communicating is I think, a real positive for us. It gives me confidence, but when he's in the huddle calling the plays the way he does, I know his teammates can feel the confidence.
I feel it too right now.
So I'm hesitant to say this is a prove it year for Carson Wentz because I don't know if I need to see anything else. His last year in Philly was so bad. He helped the Colts to a historically bad loss against the Jacksonville Jags. And look, I like offensive coordinator Scott Turner for the Commanders. I like him a lot. I hope he can make something work with Carson Wentz. Time will tell, but I'm not confident in Carson Wentz. And it led me to the question, which quarterback that's actively in the league do you guys think has the least amount of games left as a starter?
As a starter, okay.
Okay, because Carson Wentz could have a lengthy career as a backup, and maybe that would be better because I don't think he handles pressure well. But which starting quarterback, do you guys think has the least amount of games left as a starter?
I have two that I think will be benched at some point next year. The first is Sam Darnold, who still, by default, is the head of the Carolina Panthers quarterback room.
They were in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
They drafted the kid from Ole Miss, if I'm not mistaken. So Matt Corral. So that might be the guy that comes in eventually. The other is Tua Tagovailoa in Miami with Teddy Bridgewater behind him. I don't think there's a very long leash for Tua at this point in time. So those are the two that I'm looking at as starters. I could definitely see other teams giving them a chance somewhere else, though, to potentially start. Darnold, I have a hard time seeing him get that next chance. Tua, maybe.
Tua, I think the training wheels are off, right? They bring in a new offensive coordinator with Frank Smith. They bring in Mike McDaniel. They bring in weapons on weapons. They're going to protect him. So if he can't make it work at this point, I think the training wheels are off and there's kind of no excuses for Tua. Sean Mapes, what say you? Which is starting cornerback you think has the least amount of games left as a starter?
I think Daniel Jones deserves to be mentioned here because Daniel Jones has done nothing really to prove that he should be the long-term answer, and the Giants as a roster are so bad that they might be bad enough to where they can draft an actual good quarterback.
Yeah, because the next class is so much better.
Exactly. Yeah. So he might just get replaced just because he's a quarterback on an awful team.
We want to know what you guys have to say. Which starting quarterback you think is on the shortest leash, the least amount of games left in the NFL as a starter? 713-780-ESPN. I say Carson Wentz. I like your Tua prediction though a lot.
Yeah, and the more I think about it, the more I could see again Tua getting another shot somewhere else. But I definitely with Darnold, I feel pretty confident about it. A couple other possibilities. So this one's an easy one just because he hasn't really been a starter for much of the last couple of years because he got supplanted by Ryan Tannehill, but Marcus Mariota in Atlanta, I think there's a fair point to be made that this will probably be the last opportunity he gets like as a legitimate starter. And I would also take a look at the Detroit Lions with Jared Goff, who has yet to have his replacement drafted. Okay, they're going to roll with him another year, but do you think he's going to make it through the whole season? Do you think he is going to give them enough where they feel like, hey, he's the guy? I don't think so.
If I'm Jared Goff, I'm just retiring for the simple fact that as soon as I left the Rams, they won a Super Bowl, and now I'm in Detroit, and life sucks. I mean, you go from L.A. to Detroit. Absolutely not.
How about any one of the two Browns quarterbacks, either Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson?
Ooh.
I mean, if Deshaun gets...
Deshaun might be at zero, depending, you know, in a few weeks, if something else comes out, he might actually just like...
Be banned from the league?
Yes. I don't think... I think that's super unlikely, but...
But it could happen.
Yeah, and then Baker, obviously.
Baker's kind of become a little bit unhinged. Right? I mean, Baker's a little bit...
I don't know. I feel like people are painting him as unhinged.
Yeah. Well, he has a good point in being mad. He brought them their first playoff win in 3 decades, played hurt, and then they tried to get someone else.
A little bit of an ego on him, no doubt about it. But is he like angry? Is he pissed off?
Is he the crazy woman, or is he being made out to be the crazy woman?
Right. I think he's being made out to be a little bit worse than he's at this point in time. Like, I feel like he has very valid reservations about his situation in Cleveland right now.
Yeah, I feel like he's also kind of being gaslit by the league. Ooh. As far as, like, no one wants to trade for you.
Oh,
like,
that's busted for real, awful. For real.
And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm actually good, guys.
That's so toxic.
Yeah, it is a toxic situation.
It actually is completely toxic that they brought in Deshaun Watson, which without investigating and talking on a real note to any of the women.
Yes.
Yeah, it is not bussing for real, for real. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, where we know all of the Gen Z terms, the PGA Tour makes an announcement that could impact the future. Plus, it's gambling segment Thursday because we know all about the gambling.
We really
That's
do.
Next.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The PGA is not going to take it. We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore. They have announced that there will be suspensions for those who participate in the Live, Laugh, Love.
The Live tournament.
The PGA announcing suspensions for the 17 players, which of course includes Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and Sergio Garcia, who are taking place in that tournament. They haven't announced exactly what this suspension is, but they released that this morning.
Probably indefinite. And I think what's interesting is that the U.S. Open makes a big deal about how inclusive they are when it comes to it. Not like that. I mean, inclusive in that they want anyone that's from, I think, the United States of America to be in it. And I think the tricky thing is now with the suspension, I guess that Dustin Johnson, who I was pretty sure that they greenlit, I'm not sure when it comes to Garcia and Mickelson if they had, but this is a tad surprising, and the PGA is clearly mad about what's going on.
Big mad.
I don't think it's smart. I don't. I'm not going to act like it's the end of the world for the PGA, but I feel like acting like the Live, Laugh, Love doesn't exist is probably the smart play, as opposed to keeping players out who are recognizable to the majority of the golf viewing public.
The memo says players who compete in Live are ineligible to participate on the PGA Tour or any other tours it sanctions, including Korn Ferry, PGA Tour Champions, PGA Tour Canada, and PGA Tour Latino America. So the LIA Live did respond. They called it, they said it's vindictive. Deepens the divide between the tour and its members. Quote, it's troubling that the tour, an organization dedicated to creating opportunities for golfers, is blocking golfers from playing.
Well,
is certainly not the last word on the topic.
Calm down, Liv. You're paying these guys millions of dollars to play in your league without them actually having played in a match. So let's, I think, ease with that kind of rhetoric. They have a very different way that they pay players. And they're just not allowing players who, again, have been paid a massive fee to go play and Live. They're just not letting them also make money in this other job. I don't think it's egregious, but I do think it's not smart either. You act like they don't exist, and if you act like they don't exist, it won't gain any popularity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for them, it's going to come down to money. I did see Matt Young from The Chronicle that tweeted out pictures of Phil Mickelson today actually wearing PGA logos while he's on this Live Tour. So he's definitely being hashtag team petty as far as the apparel that he's wearing. But yeah, I mean, this is a beef that I think is just now beginning. Jeremy Branham tweeted something. Jeremy Branham, who you'll hear next on the Killer Bees, of course, from 12 to 3, that made my racing heart happy/sad. If the PGA doesn't play this right, and I don't believe they are, they're going to be the IndyCar series in a decade while LIV Golf is F1.
Sounds right.
Not exactly apples to apples, but I get what he's saying, and I get his point, because F1 is way more popular than IndyCar. I get it.
But they're the same thing.
They're not the same thing.
I thought IndyCar and F1 were the same thing. Why are you
not
so
even
mad?
Close.
No, F1, they turn left and right, and they go all over the world.
Yeah, they go all over the world. Lots of foreign drivers, lots more money, Netflix specials.
They turn right?
They do turn right. Yeah.
Chicanes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Le Mans.
And they
I always feel fancy when I say Le Mans.
So does the Indy series, do they not allow foreigners in?
No, they do. It's probably about half
Grosjean.
The field.
I got excited for a second.
Elio Castroneves, Marcus Ericsson is from Sweden. Remember, you were mad that a Swede
is... I don't want these Swedes in my leagues.
Yeah, so do you guys think the PGA Tour is at risk at all of lessening in popularity?
I don't think it is. What the LIV is trying to do, I think they're doing it very poorly. Like, they're having a draft, but it doesn't seem like they're going to publicize the draft. I think that the LIV will ultimately fail. I just think, though, you don't acknowledge them. Suspending these guys is giving LIV free publicity. Honestly, LIV is doing all it can to not give these players free publicity. So I would just continue to ignore them as opposed to reacting to them, because reacting to them allows the little brother to take in a big gulp of publicity air.
All right. So per our last segment, we were talking about which NFL starting quarterback has the least amount of games left as a starting quarterback. We're not talking about them being a backup, because certainly Mariota, Wentz, they could all be backups. But which current starting quarterback is on the shortest leash? And that leads us to the second week of the Vanessa and Gallant gambling segment. Woo, we need to get music for this, for a little gambling segment. But we hope that we're making...
How about we play JD in the straight shot? I should have known. Yeah. I should have known.
Great song.
Not to bet the over in
that game.
If you
didn't hear our show earlier, that's the Knicks and the Rangers owner who wrote a very interesting song.
It is so just a crying shame.
We're going to play a little over-under.
I should have known.
For our gambling segment, let's start with Tom Brady. Does he have... Now, Tom Brady's not on a short leash, but there's been a lot of rumors he could retire after this year because of that multi-year, multi-million dollar deal with Fox. So the over-under on Tom Brady, games left as a starting quarterback, 16 and a half, essentially, is he going to play more than a season? Sean Mapes will start. What say you?
I say over. I think he has I'll chill out with at least two more years. I think he has two more years. Three would be hard to believe. But I think he plays this year, and I think he plays in 2023.
I'm going to take the under. I think this is his last year. I think that he's going to keep people guessing, but poor Greg Olson, I think, is going to have 1 year in that color commentator role aside Kevin Burkhardt, and then Tom Brady's going to slide in.
This is our
Tom Brady worshiper, Boston native, Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady's eternal.
Over, under 16 and a half.
Over. Over.
He's playing more than one season. You and Sean both think.
I think so. And... You know, I went and found another website, Vanessa, so I'm going to throw some odds back on you in our little gambling segment, because I do think he will continue to play. If he retires at age 45, his current age, after this season, it's -250, which means that everyone is expecting him. The odds are that he will do it. If he retires at 46, it's +200, essentially 2-1 for him to retire at the end of the year. So I feel like the fun play is if he retires at 47, which would be 24 to 25 season, like after that, those two seasons are done. And that is +750. So that's 7.5 to 1. If you want to bet, like you want to go big or go home.
Go big or go home. So would you take that?
Yeah.
What year? Wait.
So after the 2024-2025 season?
He would
ludicrous.
That he would retire?
The Murdoch family would freak out
on
Fox.
At some point, he's under breach of contract with Fox.
He is a god.
Yeah, we know.
You can't sign a god to a contract.
Let's go with Carson Wentz, guys. Over, under, 9.5 games left as a starting quarterback.
Under.
Y'all know how I feel about Carson Wentz. I'm going under.
Nine and a half?
9.5.
That's pretty high. I don't know who Washington has as alternatives at quarterback.
I don't believe that he's going to produce. I don't believe that he's going to be able to be good under pressure. Sean, do you take the over or the under on 9.5 with Carson Wentz games left as a starting quarterback?
This is a tough one because Taylor Heinicke is the backup there. So it's not like he has...
like Jacoby Brissett or
something. But Heinicke is well-liked in that locker room and has had some moments where I think he's like a younger Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, I think he plays aggressively like that and is not one of those backups who's essentially just going to say, all right, I'm not going to screw up.
You know what? Until just the second when he said Fitzpatrick, I didn't take into account injury. And so, yeah, under. He's going to get hurt in week 5.
He does get hurt a lot, too.
And then Taylor Heinicke's going to grab that job by the throat and never let it go.
Yeah, well, it is Washington. Marcus Mariota, 10.5 games.
Oh, you got 10.5.
What do you want to make it?
Well, I would say under on that one.
We talked about this on the break. So if 10.5 isn't, what number do you think is more
appropriate? If I had to set it at, I would say, I'd probably say like 7.5
okay,
or something
so
like that.
Okay, so we'll go
that.
7.5. Marcus Mariota, 7.5. Under.
I'd still say under, but that said, the quarterback depth chart in Atlanta is you know, one of those ones where you really wonder how ready is Desmond Ridder. That was the guy that they drafted, and a lot of people were saying
Cincinnati
that he is the most pro-ready quarterback. Yes, coming out of Cincinnati. I think under. I think that they're going to try to turn it over to Desmond Ridder as soon as they possibly can.
What about you, Sean?
I say over, but not much over. I do think midseason, again, this is another injury-riddled guy, but I think by midseason, Ridder is the quarterback there.
All right, Daniel Jones, this was, Sean, your pick for the quarterback on the shortest leash as a starter, 10.5 games, over under Daniel Jones.
I mean, Tyrod Taylor's his backup, so that could go either way as far as whether you feel like Tyrod's breathing down his neck. Tyrod's the guy who starts the season and gets his job taken normally. So this is a new role for him. 10.5, I do think they go over just because he's not someone that the Giants front office or coaching staff's really like married to in any way. So they might as well just play out the string with Daniel Jones. Even if he's bad, that's kind of good for the Giants. They want to be bad and draft his replacement. So I go over.
All right, Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee Titans starting quarterback. Of course, they also drafted Malik Willis, who Ryan Tannehill has made clear he will not mentor. Over under 11.5 games for Ryan Tannehill.
Over.
I'm actually going to go over on this because I know Mike Vrabel likes him. I think ownership, for whatever reason, believes in him. And I don't think Malik Willis is as quote-unquote NFL ready as Desmond Ridder. What about you, Paul?
And no one's going to be able to help him.
Right,
yeah,
because he will have no mentoring.
Tannehill will be knocking the pencil out of his hand every chance he gets.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I think it's definitely over. Like, you have to assume Tennessee is going to completely crater to start the year for that to happen. They'd have to start like 1-5, I think, for them to even get to that point. Because, I mean, aren't we talking about the most raw of all the quarterbacks in this year's draft class? And look in San Francisco with Trey Lance, who still has yet to see the field, you know? Who was the 3rd overall pick, and everyone was so high on him. I mean, it's technically not even a definitive fact that he is the starting quarterback for the 49ers next year, though it does seem to feel that way.
There are 17 games now, right?
Yeah, yes. 17.
So does that make things dicey as far as, I guess, our number 16.5? No, that'd still be right, right?
No, it would still be right.
Yeah, it'd still be right.
Somebody tried to tell us we were wrong on the text line. You, sir, are wrong.
And, I mean, if the Bucs have the one seed locked up or something, maybe he doesn't
playoffs.
Start the last game of the season.
It would True. Be, yeah, it's 16.5. They set it at that, so I guess if you say under, well, that means you think he's going to get hurt or something
right.
like that. And if it's at 17, then you think he will play exactly 17 more games before he
this
retires.
This has been your gambling infomercial, which
Woo-hoo!
We are really, really
better.
Good at.
This time we were
Actually,
better.
We are getting better.
We
I'm
are
kind
better.
Of proud of us as a group.
We kept it a little bit more simple.
We're gonna talk about hashtag spreads next Thursday. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Aaron Rodgers has a new girlfriend, and yes, you want to hear about this, plus our garbage time segment. That's next.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we are rolling along on a Thursday having some fun with Twitter, and Aaron Rodgers is having some fun. He tends to date women that are sassy brunettes, first Danica Patrick, then Shailene Woodley.
I got to say, you know, Vanessa, with his recent hairstyle change, he could not be more on brand as far as who he is picking now and his significant other. He looks a little bit like Geralt from The Witcher, the television series on Netflix, the video game franchise. And lo and behold, Vanessa, who is he dating now?
Blue of Earth. Her birth name is Charlotte Brereton, but she now goes by Blue of Earth.
One word?
B-L-U.
Okay.
And she is into natural medicine, healing, meditation. She paints her body. Sean, how else would you guys describe
this?
Where
is she from? Is she from Los Angeles, Orange County?
Well, in her video that Vanessa sent last night, in one of her random videos where she talks nonsense, her accent is indecipherable.
Yeah. It's like Anna Delvey on Inventing Anna.
Really? Oh, no.
She could be from, like, Venus or Mars or something. And
it's like a little English, but it's also like a little LA and how she talks. It's like,
yeah, it's all over the place.
And this is who Aaron Rodgers is booed up with. There is a picture of them together on, I think, a spiritual crystal healing retreat or something of the fact. But this is the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever, because his last girlfriend
had sex, didn't they?
Shailene, absolutely. Do you remember she was the one that would, like, put clay on her face and...
She made her own soap, apparently.
She did make her own soap.
From the earth.
And then she did the thing that I never believe, ever, ever, ever believe, which is when people asked, how did you know Aaron played football? And she's like, I, like, knew he was an athlete, but I didn't really know, like, what kind of football he played, because I'm not a sports fan.
She saw how much money he had, and she was like... Yeah.
And God bless Jonathan Owens of the Houston Texans. He and Simone Biles are now engaged, I believe.
Yeah.
But when they first started dating, he said something about, like, yeah, like, I didn't know it was Simone Biles, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know that you should say that, because it's just so clearly not true.
Anyone who says that is lying. You're likely going to have an inkling the first time this person tells you about their career at some point. And then you're not going to Google. Everyone's information is readily available to you.
Especially when it's an athlete.
Right.
Someone who tells you they're an athlete. Especially Simone Biles, who's like the greatest gymnast
of all
time.
I didn't know who she was, Owens told Texas Monthly. I just hadn't heard of her. And when I told her that, that's one of the things she liked.
Wow. So he lied.
There's just no chance that's true.
This engagement's built on
that,
a lie.
Actually, yeah, that would be a good thing to lie about. If it works like that, where she kind of liked that I didn't know who she was.
I don't know. Maybe Jonathan Owens is telling the truth. Who am I to call a guy a liar?
Maybe he's one of the guys that's not on social media.
I got to say, if someone tells me, like, hey, I'm an athlete, and I mean, you know, Simone Biles is very small, like most gymnasts, and I feel like you would be curious, like, wait a second, what kind of sport is she playing where she's this size? Especially if you're an athlete yourself. Like, if it is even mentioned at all, of course you are going to be curious about it in some way, shape, or form. But maybe not. And maybe, you know, in Blue of this Earth, what is that her name?
Blue of Earth.
In Blue of Earth's defense, because the spelling would say Bluverth. In Bluverth's defense, I mean, Aaron Rodgers does look more like the Jesus from the Big Lebowski. And I think it maybe is more of a bowler than like an actual athlete. No offense to bowlers out there. So maybe that's what she was thinking, and that's how she feigned ignorance.
This is what she has to say about being the change you wish to see in the world.
Ooh.
First, we must rip open, and picture Aaron Rodgers saying this. First, we must rip open our chest to reveal, like, all the unconscious behaviors, patterns, beliefs, and stories that are subconsciously running the show and seeping into our decision-making that's, like, creating the universe to push back at us.
It's presenting, like, creating
challenging situations that are inviting us to look at what's laying below the surface. It sounds like something he'd say to Pat McAfee on why he lied about vaccines. So I don't think any of us are surprised by this, but congratulations.
She's a witch.
Congratulations to Aaron Rodgers on dating a witch. Maybe she'll help him get to a Super Bowl.
Exactly. You know, now I get it, because Aaron Rodgers, despite being on a team that continuously has the one seed or a bye week in the NFC, he probably realizes I need to do something dirty to get over the finish line. So some blood magic. Yeah, it's fine.
Listen, I don't know how Tom Brady's doing it. Maybe it has to be something supernatural. So he's looking for something.
Well, the other thing is, if you don't have Devontae Adams, and you want to win another Super Bowl before you retire, you probably need a witch of some sort. All
What's the next step? Is Aaron Rodgers going to, like, lure his estranged brother out to, like,
I don't
the
know, he wasn't at his wedding, though.
And, like, ritualistically sacrifice him? Like, that's the final step. Because now you have the witch, and now you just need to, you know, sacrifice some family. Like your Stannis Baratheon.
All right, it is now time for our segment we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
That is garbage.
All right, Garbage Time. We're going to start with some Oklahoma softball.
Oh,
Oklahoma
my God.
Softball is dominant. I do know this because I did a story last year on Nicole Mendez, who was in the Olympics, local Houston girl. But yeah, Oklahoma's great.
Yeah, I know we talk about David and Goliath in sports, and Texas is still alive. But this is the story of David and Goliath, where David's like, hey, Goliath, I'm going to take you down. And then Goliath comes over and just grabs a club and smashes him into the earth like several times. So I found out. Oklahoma softball last night, Vanessa, because I had it on the broadcast after the Astros game was done on my top TV. And apparently, Oklahoma has won games essentially due to the mercy rule 65% of the time that they have played this year. On top of that, they hit four home runs at least last night. It was 14-1 when I stopped paying attention. This Oklahoma team is an absolute dreadnought, and Texas's cool little Cinderella story is sadly about to end.
Yeah, Texas scored in the first inning, the top of the first, on a bases-loaded walk, and then they lost 16-1.
Oh my gosh, it was that bad?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I had a similar thing as Paul, where I checked in literally in the first inning, and I saw they were winning. I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. And then the finals started, and I just watched the finals. And then after the game, I just saw an alert that like they won 16-1, and I could not believe it.
Adam Schefter tweeting that the Broncos ownership Walton Pinner family has had conversations with Peyton Manning about an advisory role in the organization that eventually could mean being part of ownership group and having equity in the franchise per sources.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's not my favorite thing I've heard all day, but I'm not surprised. For whatever reason, he seems more connected to the Broncos than the Colts. Not that I'm bitter.
You also, in the same day, we found out that I guess John Elway could have purchased a 20% share in the Broncos.
Yeah, John Elway declined the opportunity to buy 20% of the Broncos in 1998, which would have made him $900 million.
Oh, boy. That's tough.
It is tough, especially when you look at the value of the NFL now. The Walton Pinner family bought the Broncos for like double what the Panthers guy bought it for.
And I'm sure that the Broncos would have given him quite the sweetheart deal to invest in the team. Like, I doubt that they would have made him pay full price for that. So they essentially offered him stock options, and he was like, nah, that's no bueno. The last story I have in Garbage Time, Vanessa. So yesterday we found out that both Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau are leaving the PGA Tour for the Live Golf Tour. Well, now all the gossip is coming out about both Patrick Reed and about Bryson DeChambeau. Apparently, Reed's inner circle, specifically his wife, was perhaps the most annoying thing about Patrick Reed, because she was constantly under the belief that he was being persecuted. And Bryson DeChambeau is apparently a jerk to literally everybody on the PGA Tour, including people that are like
service workers.
Service workers. So
this
not
is the worst. And here's the thing. Why, whenever you're an athlete and the most annoying person in your circle is your significant other, I'm sorry, Patrick Mahomes, it's your wife and your brother. You need to reevaluate things, because we see this over and over again.
It is a tricky spot, though, like when, hey, this person publicly is hurting me, and you probably do love them, so.
All the TikTok dances. All right, coming up next on ESPN 97.92.5, you have Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank, the Killer Bees, from 12 to 3. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards.
Alliance.
We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast.
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Saving on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save.